pásate. Okay, if you will take your Bibles. Is it always this warm up here? Wow. Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to be using a lot of scripture today. Some of them we will be going there, and some of them I'll just read to you. But who can say it better than God, right? Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the what? The chief cornerstone. We're going to be talking about the cornerstone today. What I want to do is look at the cornerstone of a building, cornerstones of buildings, mostly brick. You know, you, wood frame houses don't have cornerstones, but brick buildings, you, whether they be brick or cinder block, they usually have a cornerstone. And cornerstones have basically three different functions. And what I would like to do is take the three different functions of a building cornerstone and apply them to Jesus as the cornerstone. We can do that. The first function of a cornerstone is that the cornerstone is the foundation of the wall. It's not the foundation of the whole building, but it's the foundation of the wall. A cornerstone, we're thinking about brick buildings now. A cornerstone is always stronger than the brick that it's holding up, usually made of marble. And if the cornerstone is bigger and stronger than the rest of the bricks of the building, and it's the main support of the walls, all the walls, you know, it almost seems difficult how one stone can be a foundation for the four walls, but it is. The cornerstone of a building is the foundation of the wall. Secondly, you may not know this, but the cornerstone is a guideline for the rest of the bricks on the wall. The cornerstone has to be absolutely level when they lay it down, because based on the levelness of the cornerstone, the rest of the bricks of the building are based on it. If you see them with those strings that they snap, sometimes they'll use a laser leveler. Mm-hmm. But that cornerstone has to be level. If the cornerstone is not perfectly level, that first row of bricks won't be perfectly level. And the second row is going to be even less level. And the third row and the fourth row, by the time you get to the top, you're going to have a lopsided building which will be in danger of falling down. The cornerstone has to be a level guideline for the wall. Thirdly, the cornerstone is the identity of the building. How many have ever seen a cornerstone on a building? What do you usually see on the cornerstone? What do you usually see on a cornerstone? The date. Don't you see the date of the building that's on the cornerstone? You look at the cornerstone, you'll see a date on there. That date is the building that is the year that that building was made. So that cornerstone identifies the building as when it was made. Now, we can apply all these three functions of a cornerstone to the function of Jesus as our cornerstone. Remember, it says Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is our cornerstone. Jesus is the foundation of our salvation.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. My salvation is not based on Buddha.
That's right.
It's not based on Mormonism.
Amen.
Thank God. Okay. It's not based on any other. None of these people, none of these so-called leaders of different religions rose from the dead like our Savior did they?
That's right.
Jesus is not just our foundation. He's the foundation of everybody. The key is you have to believe or reject. It's up to you. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way.
That's right.
It's not by the law. You know, a lot of people think if I keep the law, I'll go to heaven. God never, you look in the Old Testament, God never said, if you keep the law, you'll go to heaven. He said, if you keep the law, I'll keep the pestilences away from you, and your cattle will not get sick, and your enemies will run away from you. But the law does not give us salvation. The law has two purposes. The first purpose we see in Romans 3 verses 19 and 20. Now we know that the things whatsoever the law saith, it saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the what? The knowledge of sin. The law shows us that we are sinners. The law doesn't show us a way to get to heaven. The law shows us that we are sinners. The second thing that the law does for us, and I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22 to 24. Galatians chapter 3. Are you following me out there on media land? Galatians chapter 3 verses 22 through 24. But the scripture hath concluded all unto sin. That's the first part. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. The people in the Old Testament didn't know, or they should have known. If they read Isaiah 53, they should have known. But Jesus came at the right time. Shut up unto faith, which should be afterwards revealed. Therefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Go back to Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. The law shows us that we are sinners. The law also shows us that we need a Savior. And that's why Jesus came. So the foundation, the cornerstone foundation of Jesus Christ, it's by Jesus Christ. It's not by the law. It's also not by good works. Most of the religions that we have today base their salvation on good works. We saw that with Mormonism. It's blasphemy what they say. They say, yeah, Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, but in order to get to heaven, we have to believe that and also believe the laws of the Mormon church, or else we can't get there. And then they have all their different kinds of heaven and different places where people can go and blah, blah, blah. That's just what it is. But the Bible says, not in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I have nothing to boast about, folks, and neither do you, and neither does anybody else in the world. We cannot earn our salvation. What does the Bible say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I may surpass the glory of Jeffrey Dahmer. I may surpass the glory of Adolf Hitler. I'm not as bad as him. That's what they say. Well, I'm not as bad as this guy. I'm not as bad as that guy. Right. But compare yourself to God and where you stand. You come short. Here's God. Here's you. You're trying, but you're not going to get there because you will always come short. So what then? How do we get to heaven? Go to Isaiah chapter 53, please. Isaiah chapter 53. I don't know why I'm sniffing tonight. I don't usually sniff, but I'm sniffing. Maybe it's because of the heat. Just bear with me, folks. My wife hates it when I sniff. She calls me snuffy.
Snuffy.
Snuffy. Or sniffy. Sniffy, snuffy, whatever. That's okay. I still love you, Nan. Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verses 4 and 5. This is how we get to heaven. Surely he, who's he?
Jesus.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Where did he carry them? In his body. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Who did that? Who esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted? Israel did. His own people did. And unbelievers do. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Bruised there means to suffer. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Ever wonder what that means? What stripes? Did they paint stripes on Jesus? It's his wounds. The wounds of his back. The wounds on his head. The wounds in his hand. The wounds in his feet. He suffered. They pulled his beard out. He suffered more than any other man. He was marred so much that they didn't even recognize him. And yet, what caused him to cry out? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the Father had to turn his back on the Son, because on the Son was the sins of the whole world. And how do you think that made God the Father feel? Do you ever wonder about that? How would you like to turn your back on your Son because of something that he did? Actually, because of something somebody else did and blamed him, and he didn't do it, and you had to turn your back on him. I can't imagine. Do you ever wonder about that? When you go through the Bible, it's a good idea to do that. When you go through the Bible, think of a theme. And as you read something, you say, wow, how did that make you feel, Lord? That's a good way to study the Bible. It's called mulling around. Mull it around in your head and think about the words. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree or on the cross, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. It's called imputation. Our sins were imputed. To impute means to put to the account of. Our sins were imputed upon his body, and his righteousness, when we trust Christ as our Savior, his righteousness is imputed upon us. Double imputation. We're going to talk about that in another message in the future. Think about that, folks. Whenever I think about that, it just boggles my mind. I can't think of a word that would describe how I feel when I think about what he did for me. And it wasn't just my sins. And it wasn't just the sins of the saved. It was the sins of the whole world. How many sins would that be? Billions and billions of sins covered his body. How do you think that made Jesus feel? The Bible says in James that he despised the shame. His father couldn't even look at him because of the sin that was on his body. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew why. You got to think about that once in a while. When you think you're going through some hard times, everybody hates me, nobody loves me. Well, guess what? Jesus loves you. Amen. And look what he did for you. The cornerstone is also a guideline to the rest of the wall. Now, Jesus is our guideline, but how is Jesus our guideline? He's the guideline through the scriptures. Who gave us the scriptures? God did. Jesus did. Amen. Who wrote the scriptures? Well, God did. Indirectly through the, through, not indirectly, directly through his inspiration, told people what to say. Mm-hmm. I like it in sign language. It does like this. This is the prophet. This is God. That's the sign for inspiration. I like that. The scriptures, which are the word of God. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again because I love to say this. If Jesus were to walk through that door right now and come and stand up in here and tell us what he wants us to do as a Christian, he would just be repeating himself because he already said it right here. He doesn't need to tell us anything. It's all right here, folks. It's in the word of God, but we have to search for it. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. He wants us to seek it out. Don't ever say, I don't understand the Bible. I don't like those words. I don't understand them. Right in there you have the Holy Spirit. He can help you understand it. Listen, you can understand it. You can compare scripture with scripture. If we couldn't understand it, God wouldn't have given it to us in this book. We can understand it, and we will understand it. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Men, God used men to pen the scriptures, to put it down in scrolls and in books and put it all together. But it was by the inspiration of God.
Amen.
How did he do it? I don't know. Did he speak to their minds? Probably. Did he speak to them by sometimes by visions? Yes. Sometimes by dreams? Yes. But it comes from God. It does not come from men. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, I don't believe the Bible. It was just written by men. Mm-hmm. This is a very special book.
Amen.
This book is the word of God. When you read from the pages of this book, you are reading the very word of God. You should love this book.
Amen.
Remember the story that pastor gave us the other day about that underground church in China? And there was a big box in the middle of the church, and when they opened up the box, it was full of Bibles. And those people went and grabbed the Bible, and they held it to their chest, and they cried, and they were so happy to have the word of God. How would you feel if all of a sudden the government came in and said, you can't have a Bible anymore, take it out of your house, we're going to burn it. No more Bibles. There are some politicians who would love to do that, believe me.
Oh, yes.
So while you have it, use it. Don't let it sit on the table and just sit there looking real nice on the coffee table. This is the word of God. If you want to hear something from God, read the Bible. It's given by inspiration of God. Jesus guides us to salvation through the scriptures. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I can't get eternal life by studying science. I can't get eternal life by studying literature. I don't care how popular Shakespeare is. You can't get saved. She's making faces back there. I believe the same thing. Shakespeare can't give me eternal life. Philosophies cannot give you eternal. How many philosophies are in the world? The world is full of all different, hundreds of different philosophies, different ways that we can live our lives. And everything is okay, and everything be positive, and you'll do okay as long as you are faithful in what you believe. You'll be okay. That's what philosophy says. But the scriptures, the cornerstone of Jesus through the scriptures, gives us eternal life. Jesus guides us with the scriptures on how to live the Christian life through the scriptures. But you have to study, folks. It doesn't go like this. Doink. Oh, I know it. You got to study it. You have to read it. You have to understand it. Don't tell me you don't understand it. The Bible says study. It doesn't say read. Well, let's see. Today, I'm going to just read chapter 5. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, read it. That's all done. No. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Pastor, are you ashamed that you know the Bible?
Not at all.
Anybody here ashamed that they know the Bible? I'm not ashamed.
But the Lord gave me the ability.
That's right. We are workmen that needeth not to be ashamed if we read the Bible.
Amen.
But if you don't read the Bible, if it sits idle in your home and you never read it, then you will be ashamed. I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation, but you will be ashamed. The cornerstone is also an identification. Like we said before, usually on a cornerstone you'll see the year, 1856. That means that building was finished in the year 1856. Not all cornerstones have them, but most of them, you look, next time you go around, you see a brick building, look for the cornerstone, and you, more than likely you'll see a date on there, a year, 1856, 1965, 1847, whatever. It's an identification to show that that building was built at that time. Mm-hmm. We are identified with the cornerstone. Galatians 2:20 says, this is our verse, right? Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Now that word crucified doesn't mean we have to die on the cross.
Right.
That word crucified means in union with or identified with. That's what that word means. I am crucified with Christ, in union with, identified with. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my identification. I identify as being in union with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. That means I'm in union with Christ. And the life that I live now, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. I am not identified with the world. Or I should not be. 1 John 2:15 and 16 says, love not the world. Now, that doesn't mean the planet Earth. That means the world system. The things that people teach. The things we see on YouTube. The things we see in places that we need to be careful about watching. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. That doesn't mean God hates the world, the planet Earth. And also doesn't mean that God hates the people of the planet Earth. But God does hate the system that takes people away from him.
That's right.
The world system. And listen, folks, it's getting worse and worse and worse.
Yep.
We see things today that 20 years ago we never would have seen.
Absolutely.
10 years ago we never would have seen.
Yeah.
And we see it creeping in. Creeping into the churches. Creeping into families.
Mm-hmm.
Creeping into society. Creeping into government.
Yep.
The government wants to take God out. They want to take the names of the scriptures that if you go to Washington and go to the different monuments, you'll see scripture on a lot of them. They want to take that out of there. They want to take "In God We Trust" off our currency. They want to take "Under God" out of our Pledge of Allegiance. They've already taken prayer out of public schools. You can't say Jesus or God if a valedictorian gets up there and makes his speech. He can't say Jesus. He can't say God. He can say the Lord. He can say a higher power. He can say the powers that be. He can say whatever he wants to say. He can't say Jesus. Because it might offend somebody. About 10 years ago, I forget the girl's name, one of the high schools, Cranston West, there was a poster in the hallway. I don't think it was the Ten Commandments. It was a statement that talked about Jesus and about God and about faith in God. One girl went to court, good old good old, what's it, almost said, not NAACP. What's that, that liberal lawyers there, whatever they are. I can't think of the name.
They have a name.
He went to them, she went to them, and they had them take that poster out of that school. Mm-hmm. One girl.
Yes, I remember that.
Yep, that was about 10 years ago.
Yeah. What's the name of that?
And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. I used to drive on the way to on the way home from work. I used to work in Cranston, and I would go through Roger Williams Park to get home.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a place in Roger Williams Park where the Ten Commandments were there.
Yep.
Not there anymore.
Nope.
Who took it out of there? Cicilline got it out of there. The mayor of Providence had them take that out of there. Because
yep.
it might offend somebody.
Yep.
That's not why. It's because he doesn't believe it.
Mm.
And it's going to happen more and more and more.
Mm.
In closing, let me say this. To you and to those online, is Jesus your cornerstone?
Amen.
Or are you going to do what the Jews did?
Mm.
Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2.
Mm.
1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verses 6 and 7. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion, or Sion, a chief, what? Cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, shall not be mixed up, shall not be lose their mind. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Is he precious to you?
Amen.
Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed. Who's the builders that disallowed? Israel.
That's right.
It's also unbelievers, but basically this is talking about Israel. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become, is made the head of the corner, the cornerstone. The cornerstone, or the head of the corner, is the church. He was rejected. Can you imagine how that made him feel?
Right.
Rejected by his own people. He started with Abraham, and he was faithful with Abraham. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, going into Egypt, 430 years. Moses, getting them out, parting the Red Sea. When we get to heaven, do you think God will let us see that?
Mm.
I want to see that, man. I want to see the parting of the Red Sea.
Mm.
I want to see the creation. I'm going off on a rabbit trail right now. He is the cornerstone of the church. 1 Corinthians 3, 10, 11. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. This is Paul now. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. How can we fail if Jesus himself is our foundation?
Mm-hmm.
But this also comes to a warning. There's a warning in John chapter 3, verse 8. I'm going to go there. Go to John chapter 3, verse 18. We're going to close with this. Rejecting the cornerstone will bring eternal judgment. God has warned us. God has warned the people. John 3:18 and 36. We're going to go 18, then we'll skip down to verse 36. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, question, folks, which would you rather have? Would you rather have eternal salvation, or would you rather have the wrath of God? If you reject Jesus as your cornerstone, as your Savior, the wrath of, and you die in that state, the wrath of God will fall on you. It's a fearful thing to fall under the wrath of God. But the wrath of God is only can be brought upon by ourselves. God didn't say, I give the wrath of God to you, and I give salvation to you. No. He gave us all free will. Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. It's our choice. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killeth them, how often would I have gathered you under my wings like a chicken gathers her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. It's not, and I would not have you. It's, ye would not. Here's my wings, folks. Jesus said, here's my wings. Come on under. You can say yes. You can say no. If you say no, the wrath of God will abide on you. He did everything that he could to give you salvation, but he has left it up to you to either receive it or reject it. And I pray, everybody here, those that are on out in the media, that Jesus is your foundation. Jesus is your Savior. Don't reject him, because if you do, the wrath of God will fall upon you. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we certainly thank you for the blessings of salvation, for by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. You've done everything that needed to be done in order to give us salvation. But you've given us the responsibility and the ability to choose or reject. Lord, I pray and I thank you that I receive Christ as my Savior. And as far as I can tell, everybody in this room has. But if there may be some out on social media, maybe that have not done that. They can do that. I pray that if there's anyone out there under the hearing of my voice that has not yet received Jesus as your foundation, as your cornerstone, as your Savior, do it before it's too late. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name.